Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on Breaking the Silence with Pastor Katie Pierce and Hope Alliance, Inc. And I am so happy that you are able to join in with us on today. We also appreciate the fact that we have our guest with us on today, and that would be our own Pastor Olivia Deloach, who's going to co-host with me today as we begin to talk about and look at church abuse, spiritual abuse in the church. And it's a lot of church hurt going around. She and I have been discussing, just talking about leaders who are hurting the people of God, and sometimes unbeknownst to them because they themselves are hurting. And so we just want to dialogue a little bit about church hurt and what people are going through and get some feedback from you as the listening audience. If we can, you're definitely welcome to talk to us or email us. Go to our Facebook page, Hope Alliance, Inc., on Facebook. Also, you're welcome to email us at healing@hopealliance.com. You can definitely email us at that address. And so we just want to dialogue a little bit. Before we get started, I'm just going to let Pastor Deloach begin to say hello, and we're hoping that the clarity of it will be great. So, Pastor Deloach, if you could just say hello to our listening audience.
Good evening to listen, Aris, and to you. Thank you, Pastor Pierce, for having me as your guest tonight.
Amen, amen. So we're going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're just going to begin to dialogue. We just want to give this indemnity clause that we don't try and say that we are the professionals on this subject matters. We just personally experienced it. We want to dialogue about it because of the fact that we see it so much in the church. So let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come, Father, in the name of Jesus, just asking, O Lord God, that you would look and have mercy upon us, O Father, your seed, O Lord God. We look to you, God, as the author and the finisher of our faith, O Lord God, and we decree that he who hath begun a good work in us will finish it till the day of redemption, O Lord God. We pray now, God, according to your word, that you will open our eyes, that we will behold wonderful things out of your law. Then help us, O God, to apply that given word to our everyday lives, oh God, that we will be an instrument that will bring glory and honor to you and to the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Well, Pastor Deloach, Breaking the Silence, definitely, we usually talk about domestic violence and how domestic violence has silent in the church, and we answer in the cry of the person who's sitting in the pew. And on today, we want to look at it from a different aspect, and that aspect being that of leaders who are abusing, spiritually abusing the people of God, and the hurt that goes along with us, goes along with that in the church. And so as I began to think about it, what I thought about is the fact that spiritual abuse actually is a manipulative way of people getting others to do what they want to do. When we talk about spiritual abuse, what would be your definition of spiritual abuse, Pastor Deloach, or how do you see it? If I can just say it, kind of intricating or working its way through the body of Christ.
As you were saying, Pastor Katie, I definitely agree that it is a manipulation. And not only that, from what I've experienced and witnessed, it's manipulation through fear, that they put through fear that they can control. And we know that when they control them in fear, then people lose their power. And they become powerful. And so there's a lot of gain, whether it's financial or whether it's to build their kingdom, as I call it, not God's kingdom, their kingdom, through this fear, through this manipulation. And it's more widespread and common than we think.
Yes. Definitely, definitely. So I think, and I would like to get feedback from you, do you feel like that the reason why we have so much church hurt or spiritual abuse going on in the church is because we have leaders who have been hurt, who are actually leading God's people? What's your take
Absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely. There's a lot of broken leaders. And I know, you know, as us as pastors, what I found out was said to me some years ago, when pastors, not all pastors, but some, if they trust you, you'll begin to hear their conversation as they pull you in your circle. And you'll be surprised when you sit and once they think that you're comfortable with you, that they share things, and you'll be so surprised how broken they are,
mm-hmm.
how hurt they are, how bitter some of them are,
mm-hmm.
you know. Even to the point, you know, I've heard them say they think that the congregation is foolish.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know no better. I mean,
mm-hmm.
to that extent, and that's very hurtful to me. But unfortunately, that's been said and done.
Right. Definitely. You know, when we look at it, especially yourself and me, you know, being pastors, trying to lead God's people and the hurt that we see so much church hopping going on in the body of Christ where, you know, we're recycling members. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And
yes.
most of the time it's because of the fact that somebody's been hurt at another church, they've left that church, they've come to your congregation, and then you're trying to help them heal from the wounds that they received from the previous church. And it's just a vicious circle, a cycle of abuse, which is really, really what we see. It's a cycle of abuse, the same likewise that it is in domestic violence. We're seeing that same cycle of abuse, emotional abuse, if you will, in the body of Christ. But the thing of it is how do we get people to understand, first and foremost, in my opinion, church hopping is not the answer. Church hopping is not the answer. If you've prayed to God and God says, okay, it's time for you to leave this congregation, I'm ready for you to go to your next place or your next level in God, that's different than just you're just leaving someplace because you're hurt.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We haven't learned in the body of Christ how to confront situations in a healthy manner. We get mad, and my spiritual father used to say, give me my ball, I'm going home. And whether we realize it or not, a lot of people that are not in the church today, the reason why a lot of young people, especially, I'm going to say anywhere between the ages of 21 and 35, we've lost that group of people. And we've lost that group of people because they've seen so much in the church, so much bickering, backbiting, gossip, and things of that nature, spiritual abuse from the pulpit, until they said, you know what, I can just listen at it on my internet, or I can watch it on TV, mail in my tithes, and I'm good to go. But we forget the scripture that says, forget not to assemble yourselves together.
Yes.
You know, the importance of it on it as well. What's your comment or take on the church hopping status and even the lost age group that we're finding within the body of Christ?
Well, as you said, the lost age group is a group that's gone, and that's a group also seeking answers.
Yes.
And I don't know, like you say, I'm not an expert of it, but it's almost that the leaders, some leaders have took on, when you say spiritual abuse leaders, have took on, it's almost what you heard when you were a kid, you're meant to be seen and not heard.
Wow.
When you tell someone to do it, but you're still dictating it.
Okay.
And that age group, you know, they're hungry, they're seeking, they're very productive. You know, they come to be moving. They're movers and they're shakers. And I believe when they see you doing one thing and preaching another, that's a discouragement.
Yes.
When they see that they
okay, well, we seem to have lost our own Pastor Deloach. I'm in the makings now of trying to get her back on the line. But we would just like to continue because she was talking about a person that kind of micromanages their parishioners and how that can be discouraging to somebody who's trying to really find their way as far as ministry is concerned. That can be very discouraging. And so when we begin to look at that and talk about that, we have to begin to understand that perfectionism can be detrimental. It can be something that's very detrimental to the body of Christ, and that's something that we definitely, as leaders, want to take a look at and ensure and make sure that we're not a person that's causing perfectionism to be something that's discouraging to the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And another thing that I was looking at, I'm just kind of looking over some things. I actually went on a website. It's called Watchman Fellowship, and it was profiling spiritual abuse. And like I said, the likeness of spiritual abuse to that of domestic violence, that cycle of abuse, it looks so the same. Emotional abuse, they have very similar characteristics. And that's why we wanted to discuss it here on Breaking the Silence, because that's another silent killer in the church. It's another cry in the pew, and we have to begin to look at it. But one of them was authoritarian, those who are authoritative, and they abuse their authority in the church, that so much so that they overpower or they overemphasize that they're the leader. You know, I'm the leader. You have to submit to me. Again, looking at it from the aspect of domestic violence, you have to begin to say that spiritual abuse is about power and control.
Yes.
Yes. It's definitely about power and control, and that's dangerous, because when we think of the scriptures, one of the things as I was preparing this, I was thinking about how God said that, you know, in Philippians, he said for us not to just think about ourselves, but we should also be aware of the things of others. And we know that Jesus Christ was the good shepherd. He was a good pastor, and he was always talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were leaders, but who were leaders who were abusing power. Come on, somebody. They were abusing power. And so we have to, as leaders, as pastors, as prophets, as apostles, as bishops, we have to be mindful that we're leading God's way and that we're not leading in our own way. So authoritarians is something that we definitely want to look at. Now, in your opinion, as we just dialogue a little bit, what would you say that a person who find themselves where members are leaving, you know, members are leaving because of hurt, and given the scripture that says about the 99 sheep, the 100 sheep, and if you leave one, how do we begin to look at that when we're talking about spiritual abuse? How would that particular parable come into play with spiritual abuse?
Well, the thing is, that question, that's a good question, Pastor Katie. I've seen people, I haven't even came and talked to me, they're leaving their churches, spiritual abuse. Can I go back to what you were saying, authoritative?
Yes.
I call it, they said the unquestioned authority. They don't, the leader don't want to be questioned.
Right.
The leader don't want you to ask questions. The leader just want to tell you what to do, and you do it. And I'm finding people, they're getting uncomfortable with that.
Okay.
And they're getting uncomfortable that, why can I question? Why can't we know? And it's like, well, I hear from God. The leader said, I'm hearing from God. In other words, only person can hear from God is that person, that leader.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave. But when you say that sheep go, I know some of these these abusive leaders will not go after that one, because I have talked to one I know personally and asked them, well, have you not checked on your sheep? What is it? And the response is, let them go. Mm-hmm. I don't need them. Let them go.
Wow.
You know, it's not for me to look for them, you know. And so then they'll call you, or like you said, they'll look for pastors as ourselves and go, no one cares for me. No one thinks about me. And when you try to love on them or try to share with them, they're distrusting, even with you.
Yes.
You know, you have to build their trust, because it's just that deep. But the other pastor feel, oh, there's more. Well, one pastor told me, there's many. When one goes, there's others coming. So that's why I think they're so hurt, because the sheep's so hurt, because they're untrusting. And anything, I think, that looks familiar, and I know I've been there, I've been that sheep in the pew, if it looks familiar of hurt or any form of what I've been through, I'm not fooling with that.
Right.
You know, so that is bringing Christ back, center. And as you started off, the leaders are broken.
Yes.
And they need healing. I'm a firm believer. The water level can't go higher than the levee.
Wow.
You know, if not, you'll have a tragedy.
Right. Definitely. You know, when you were speaking, I thought about the fact about pride, how there's so much pride. When a person can't ask you, you know, what's going on or get clarity from what's going on, you know, that spirit of pride that stands up, or that haughty spirit. And we as leaders, we have to be mindful of that, you know, because the enemy will try to play on us and feel like they're questioning our authority or they're questioning our leadership. And the fact that if we've been hurt and we've been wounded, so we're taking it in a negative as opposed to a positive, and then you just recycling this hurt. You know what I'm saying? We were talking about recycling members, but you're just recycling the hurt. That hurt never is addressed. We never apply the balm of Gilead and allow healing to take place. You know, we have a hard time with confessing our faults to one another and praying for one another. Come on, somebody. And, you know, these are the words of God. And I think that it's imperative for us, you know, when we start talking about spiritual abuse, for pastors to be mindful that we're doing it God's way. And, again, one of the ways we definitely can do it is begin to take into practice that Jesus told us, that the 100 sheep, you got 100 sheep. If you lose one, go get that one. Go get that one. You know, and we don't want to do that. And then we have the mistaken habit that even if we do reach out to that one, we're not reaching out to them to draw them in. We're reaching out to them just to be able to say, well, I called them. You know, I did my part. You know what I'm saying? Trying to release ourselves, but we're trying to release ourselves in a derogatory manner as opposed to a manner of reconciliation. We're not trying to reconcile. We're trying to justify. And that's the difference. That's the difference. Amen. And we have to begin to. Another one of the abuse or common characteristics that's listed for spiritual abuse is image consciousness. It says an abusive religious system is scrupulous to maintain or demonstrate the organization's special relationship to God. They want to be, you know, the one. That's how we got all these different denominations. You know, one denomination wants to be better than a denomination. You know, we're really holy over there. Y'all missing the mark, you know. And we've got all of these pods of differences within the body of Christ. And that's not what God would have us to do as well. The Lord wants us to definitely be one who is playing on or who is doing it for to bring unity. Unity. The Bible talks about until we all come into the unity of faith, that we're supposed to be unified. And I think that's what I appreciate, Pastor DeLoach, about the AEN network, is that Apostle is giving us a point or helping us to understand how important it is to look at people's differences and try to work around the differences as opposed to highlighting their differences and using it as a wedge of division.
And you're so, Pastor Katie, if I can just catch on that, what you just said, it is a blessing that AEN, such a blessing that we do have a humble apostle.
Yes.
We have a very humble apostle. And I believe that she has took the wounded sheep. God has given her that gift, that mantle, the wounded sheep. And you said, why is the people hurt in the church? Because I found out in summertime in our religious circles, we can't talk about the hurts.
Yes.
But if we talk about the hurt, especially being a leader, something is wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you say I'm dealing with this, then you don't have Jesus.
Right.
You know.
Right.
God can't use you with the pain, so we keep it, we mask it, we don't deal with it. And like you said, you deal with that elitist person that get that false self. That's what I call it. Get that false leader, have a false self about them, and if they got any giftings, like you said, have been manipulated.
Yes.
Now that person has this attitude that can't nobody do it better than us.
Right.
You know, or like you said, it only happened over in my church.
Yes.
And this is where God's moving. He's not moving anywhere else. And we in the AEN, that is, I'm so grateful that spirit is not there.
Yes.
That the pastors, the leaders, the people are encouraging and help us one for another, you know, and we can be ourselves. We saw that just coming out the retreat, you know, that our retreat we just had, so awesome.
Yes.
That you know, you can go in. Not only do you facilitate, but you can go and lay before God yourself. You can go and get healed yourself.
Yes. Yes, and it's really, really is awesome to be able to do that, you know, and it really helps us to stay in the mindset of a servant's mentality, that we as pastors, we as leaders, we're here to serve God's people. And if you're always on the end and want to be served, at what point do you start serving? You know, and we have to, you know, to be able to roll up your sleeves and do something in the body of Christ. And I can definitively say, as a new pastor, I don't have a problem with pride. I don't have a problem with any of that because I have to take off a hat and put on a different hat at a moment's notice. You know, when you talk, I got to be the bus driver. I got to be the person that makes the bank run. I got to be the person. You know what I'm saying? And so you put on a lot of different hats when you're starting off. And definitely that should follow you to be able to maintain a spirit of humility, a spirit of humility. Being humble is not a bad word. Come on, somebody say it with me. Being humble is not a bad word. Nobody has cussed you out if they say you're humble. And we look at humility as a weakness as opposed to a strength when it is totally the opposite in the body of Christ. Would you agree?
No, you're saying something. You saying something, Pastor.
I'm telling you, and we've got to stop looking at it as though somebody has, you know, offended us or did something derogatory. I had two great men in my life who were leaders. As a young child, I was under the pastorate of a Reverend Charlie Bell, West End Missionary Baptist Church in East St. Louis, Illinois, and he was the most humble man. I can remember my father was a deacon, and we would go to church, and we would look at him at the church meetings, and the church would be fussing about this, that, and the other, and his head would be bowed, and his hands would be folded, and you could just see his mouth moving. And I would ask my father, I was like, what was he doing? And my dad would say he was praying. He was praying. Wouldn't it be amazing if we as pastors and leaders didn't take on the stance that we've got to be our own defense attorney and allow the Holy Spirit to avenge us? When the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay, that's in every aspect of our lives.
Every aspect.
Come on. In every aspect of our lives, God's got our back. And we have to begin to understand that no weapon formed against us, every aspect of our lives, we have to begin to understand that. And then that puts us in a better position of not trying to fight our own battles in the church.
Yes.
Not trying to be manipulative. Not trying to beat anybody down verbally. Come on, somebody. You know, it puts us in that mindset so that we're better able to love on God's people. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So,
Pastor, you said at the beginning when you start talking was, these are God's people.
Yes.
If we can understand that as leader, they don't belong to us.
That's it.
They're not, you know, we say my folks, my people, my folks,
my church.
They belong to God. And once we realize these people come off of free will, they don't have to show up at your church.
Amen. Especially in the city of Chicago, because you can drive down one block in the city of Chicago, Pastor, and it's three or four churches. It's a blessing that they chose to open your door and not the person that was two doors down from you. Amen.
Amen. And when you said the pastor in St. Louis, you saw him praying.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be something if we can see more of our pastors praying besides altar call?
Oh, wow.
Huh? Because if you know, I don't know if you noticed, but there's sometimes that us as leaders, we stay in the office. about time we come out.
That grand entrance.
That grand entrance. And we all, they ready to walk out, and the worship done went up, and the people done walk out, you know, and you see that grand entrance. But if they just saw us humbly.
Yes.
And not on Sunday morning, but Wednesday night, or Tuesday, when the Bible says, if you can walk in, just see your shepherd down on the altar.
Yes.
Taking some time before the Lord.
Yes.
Crying out to the Lord, you know, and letting them know that what you said, being humble.
Yes, being an example of what humility truly looks like, you know, and that's so important. One of the things that quickened me today as I was preparing and thinking about, you know, sharing on today was that the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun, and we have to begin to understand that spiritual abuse is not something that just started this century, amen. It's something that's been in the Bible for eons, you know, and I began to look back at it, and I began to look at how God began to tell them, I'm trying to turn my notes over even as we're speaking, but it talks about how he said, I'm going to give you pastors of after my own heart. He began to talk to them about their backslidden state. He said, I'm married to the backslider, and I want you to return to me. And as I began to look at that and began to equate it with what's going on in today's church, we've got people now that have church hopped, have gone some of them not at anybody's church. I've talked to people and said, you know, what church are you at? Oh, I don't go to church. I'm done with church people. Our church people is, oh, my God. And so we've got a lot of backslidden people because of church hurt. But I would like to speak to them on tonight and say, God has said it's time for you to return.
Yes.
My God to glory. Yes. Ha, Shunday. It's time for you to return. I'm ready to give you a pastor or pastors after my own heart. I'm ready to give you somebody who's ready to circumcise their heart to receive the heart of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so we just want to make a clarion call to those who perhaps have fallen out. You're not at anybody's church. You've been hurt and wounded so bad that you feel like there's no point of return for you. We came on tonight to let you know there is a point of return for you.
Yes.
That there is a pastor out there. There is a leader out there who wants to do it God's way. And I would even go on further to say that there is a leader who's known God has quickened them by his Holy Spirit, that you've been acting under spiritual abuse, and God is quickening them to repent, and they are ready to receive you back as their own.
Hallelujah.
Hey, God. Okay. Mm. I'm all right. Everything's okay. Ha! I'm sorry. I repent. Ooh, my goodness, my goodness. I don't repent for speaking in tongues. I repent so quick, ready to receive. This thing is really, really heavy on our hearts on tonight, and it's something that we really need to begin to address. And so God tells, even in the book of Ezekiel, he tells them to prophesy. He told Ezekiel, prophesy against the bad shepherds. Prophesy against those who are manipulating and using my people for the wrong. Let them know that I, God, I'm married to the backslider. I need for them to begin to draw in my people. And that's in Ezekiel 34. So it's nothing new under the sun. The spiritual abuse didn't just start. It's been in the church. And again, even as we were talking previously about how Jesus had to reprimand the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those were religious leaders.
Yes.
Those were religious leaders who was abusing God's people. Imagine what would have happened had Jesus been like some pastors today, and they brought that woman who was caught in adultery and threw her at Jesus' feet. Come on, somebody.
Come on now.
Mm.
Come on now.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she would have got the pink slip. She would have got ejected from the church, never to return. Come on, somebody. But Jesus, with his loving kindness, the Bible talks about with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So God is trying to get us to get back to a place where we're drawing in his people with loving kindness. And so as we begin to look at that, we have to begin to understand the fact that there's no place for spiritual abuse in the body of Christ. And we've got to begin to expose it so we can heal it.
Hallelujah.
We've got to begin to expose it so that we can heal it. So what does it look like for a pastor who's finding himself in a place of you're wounded and you're just wounding others, who find yourself in a place where, you know, you always tired, that pastoring has become a burden to you and not a joy. Come on, somebody, can we talk about it? It's a burden to lead God's people. God's people, too much on you. You can't handle it. That's definitely a red flag that you need to get into the presence of God and let God begin to heal you and let the Holy Spirit begin to show you who you've affected.
Oh, my.
Who have you wounded and who have you hurt in your woundedness? Pastor DeLogis, what comes to mind to me is a person that's drowning. A person that's drowning, they just swinging their arms. Even people that's trying to get close to them and save them, they could take them under if they're not handled properly. We got a lot of drowning people in the body of Christ, and they just swinging. We got a lot of drowning pastors. Can I just be blunt? We got a lot of drowning pastors who just swinging. The parishioners trying to get in.
Trying to get in.
But you're just swinging, and you're hurting everybody that comes in contact with you.
And you know, Pastor Katie, that some are hurting so bad, and this is something I've heard in the last week, they're hurting so bad when they go to the church. I've heard some, and some of them are leaders, not pastors, but they're leaders. They get anxiety.
Yes.
Getting ready to go to church because they know what they're going to run into when they get to church. And to the point, some got so bad, they say they're sitting towards the back instead of the front in the church. And the messages are beat-up messages.
Right,
you know,
beat them down.
The messages is the pastor's so wounded that his hurt is coming across the pulpit, and things that's been shared with the shepherd now is coming because of the pulpit, because the pastor still is losing control.
Wow. Amen. Losing control, and this is his way of lashing out.
Uh-huh.
He's lashing out, and he's not doing it in love. And, of course, the Bible tells us that if anything that we don't do in love, it's a sin, that we're supposed to do everything in love. And I would even venture to say that sometimes it's best to just go to church and just pray through church. Don't even get up there and say anything. Let's just take a posture of prayer. If I can borrow from a minister at our old church, he's like, can we assume the posture of prayer? We just need to take the posture of prayer, and that be the whole service. We just go pray throughout this whole service because we need to get to a place where we're able to hear God. And what kind of God would we serve as pastors and as leaders who wouldn't give us direction? He said, I know the plans that I think towards you, that they're plans of good, not of evil, to bring you to a perfected end. He desires for us to say, okay, God, what direction are we going in? Where are we supposed? What's our position this season and this day? Amen. And so as we begin to look at that, we have to just take a stand, because spiritual abuse, when you were talking and speaking of it, not only do pastors get up there and their sermons are geared toward hurt, but you almost know in the congregation exactly who he's talking about.
Oh, yes.
Because it's so targeted.
It's so targeted.
Yes, and that's not God. I'm sorry, men and women of God. It's just that's not the way God will have us to do it. Now, we have to get to a point where we as leaders, again, we're seeking out being healed so that we can heal our congregation. But it's up to us to seek out getting healed. And whatever that needs to look like, that's what we need to do. Your thought? You got a thought, Pastor?
You know, when you were saying that, we were just saying about coming out and they've been targeted. Sometime in our healing as shepherds, we talk to other shepherds. And I have experienced this and seen this myself, where the shepherd of the house may not say as much, but his guests will.
Because
he talks about it. Now the guest pastor stands up and reprimand the people.
Wow.
And they from God because, as you said, it's too detailed.
Right.
It's too, you know who we're talking about. And it behooves us.
Mm.
Like you said, if I'm hurting that bad, I've got to put away pride. I've got to come before the Lord. I need to come to my peers and say, here I am standing naked. This is what's going on with me because, as you said, I'm drowning, so the people that's following me is drowning.
Yes. Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
And we won't admit we're drowning.
Mm-hmm.
We won't admit that we're tired. Not only tired, Pastor Katie, fearful.
Wow. That's not good. Yes.
You know, so as I was sharing with you earlier before you came online, I was talking to a leader last night, a pastor last night, and he finally admit in the midst of all of us that he's wondering, has he really surrendered to God?
Wow.
You know, is he really doing what he's supposed to do? And he said, in our sharing, and he said, Pat, what you share, he called me Olivia. He said, now it makes me question, am I just giving information? He said, I have a lot of information that I give, but is it really what God is giving?
Wow.
Oh, my.
Yes.
And then we wonder why the people is scattered.
Yeah. But you know what? Even as I'm listening to you and his saying that, I feel like he had a John the Baptist moment. You know, John the Baptist in prison, he said, look, go to him and ask him, and is he the one? Or should I be looking for somebody else? I just need to know. And, you know, he had a John the Baptist moment. But even in the John the Baptist moment, Jesus encouraged him. He raised him up to the place and then sent back to him and told him, this is what you've seen. This is what you've seen. He said, you know, he didn't beat him down because he didn't say, go back and tell John. He lost his mind. He know, doing well. You know what I'm saying? He didn't do that.
I love it.
He said, you know, he began to speak to the people and tell them, this is a great man of God. This is one who, you know, he began to build him up in his most holy faith. Oh, my God, to glory. What if we as pastors encouraged each other by building each other up in our... I feel this thing. Build each other up in our most holy faith the way God wants us to do. And then he began to tell them about the signs, the miracles and wonders that John had seen with his own eyes. And then he was leaving it open. Now you tell me, am I the one? He didn't say it. He just put it out there so that John the Baptist could take the information that he already knew and make a conscientious assessment. This is the Christ.
This is.
The same one who had just baptized. Come on, somebody. He baptized him and said that this is the Son of Man. I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoes. And now you having a moment? But Jesus built him up even in his moment. He didn't tear him down. He built him up. We've got to learn how to build each other up. It's our job to strengthen the spiritually weak. That's our job. That's our calling. It's to strengthen them, not to beat them down when they're down, but to strengthen them. Strengthen them. Build them up in their most holy faith, even when they're having a John the Baptist moment.
Absolutely.
That's our job. And so we've got to begin as pastors and as leaders to get back to a place where we're encouraging each other as leaders, and then we're stretching that arm out and we're encouraging our congregation. We're letting them know it's okay. You can make it. Whatever you're going through, it's all right. You're going to be okay. We're stroking them. We're letting them know what God would have them to do. And like you said, we're not micromanaging them. You know, giving them an assignment and trusting that they're going to do it. Yeah, no, we're not saying just be blind. You check in. Give me an update on where you are. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, you're doing a great job. To build them up to be able to stand on their own. But we got people in the body of Christ. We've made them dysfunctional. Because we have not encouraged them where they are. Some people need for you to just tell them, oh, because they've been beat down since they were little, verbally beat down since they were little. And all they need is for somebody to say, you can do it. Here, take this. I believe you can do it. Get it done. That's all they need. It's for us to coach them through life. I remember one of our brothers in ministry who said, I want to love you to life. That's his phrase. I want to love you to life.
Yes.
And we've got to begin to take that adage as leaders. We've got to begin to love them to life. And we've got to begin to, first and foremost, recognize where we are if we've been abusive, if we've got sheep who have left. Even if they've left, they've joined another church, they're content with that other church, you still need to repent to them. What does the Bible tell us? If you offend your brother, come on, go to your brother, put your gift down.
Put them down. Leave them.
Leave your gift at the altar.
Leave it.
Go make amends with your brother. Then come back and pick up your gift and keep it moving. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And so we've got to begin as leaders. We've got to begin to do it the way the Bible says do it. The same messages and the same gospel that we're preaching to the people of God, we ourselves have to live by it. And we can't be in a position where we are perfectionism, where we're feeling that control, that power and control, where we want to be able to say, I am the righteous one because I am the elect of. No, you need to just come on down off of that high horse and say that if you cut me, I bleed. If you step on my toe, amen. If I'm not prayed up, I might not say, God bless you. Come on, somebody.
I may have a spirit of peace.
Yes. And so we've got to begin to look at it. I'm sorry. We've got to begin to look at it, and we've got to come out of that mindset that spiritual abuse does not exist, because it does. It exists, but it's our responsibility, again, to expose it so that we can heal it, expose it so that we can heal it. And so that's what we want to look at today. Another scripture that came to mind to me, Apostle, was in Philippians 2 and 4, again, where he was telling them that I need you to not just look on the things of yourself, but also the needs and the things of your brothers. We should be more concerned about other people, the Word of God says, than we are ourselves. And that's not the mentality that we have. We want, you know, appreciation programs. We want new robes. We want new cars. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. Please hear me what I say. But if it's taken away from somebody else,
right. Then
that's not what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how God would have us to do it as leaders. We don't want to manipulate people to take care of us.
Oh, ouch.
We don't want to manipulate people to take care of us. I work eight and a half. How many? I always get overtime. But I work from 8 to 5:15 every day. My pastoral hat is on 24/7. Come on, 365. I'm wearing that hat as well and trying to differentiate or trying to separate, you know, my pastorate, what I'm doing, how I'm ministering to God's people, making sure that I can take care of myself so that I'm not burdening the people to take care of me. Am I saying that they shouldn't? No, but they got to come to a mindset that they understand that in blessing me, they're going to get blessed.
Amen.
They have to come to that mindset. That blessing me is going to bring a blessing. It's not my responsibility to browbeat them and tell them, if you don't bless me, you ain't going to be blessed. That's not how God wants me to do that. Are you with me?
I'm with you. That's not God.
That is not God. And so we've got to begin to look at this so that God can begin to heal. There is a recovery for those who have gone through spiritual abuse. There is a recovery plan even for those who found themselves in an abusive state where you're the abuser, you know, as a pastor, as a leader, as you look at some things. And the Holy Spirit is so intelligent.
Oh, yes, yes.
He is, the Holy Spirit is like so intelligent. He can look into your innermost thoughts and divide the bone from the marrow. Come on, somebody. He can divide your thoughts and the intents of your heart, and can begin to show you people who you've wounded. people who you've wounded and you need to go and make amends to. We need to make amends. And so we just want to speak to the pastors or the leaders who are listening in on tonight's program, and Holy Spirit has brought up somebody. He's brought them up so that you can begin to reconcile, that you can extend the olive branch, hallelujah, and reach out to them and let them know, please forgive me. Forgive me. It's okay to ask for forgiveness. It's okay. So we just want to speak to that leader that has found themselves that, you know, you've abused people and they're having issues and have gone on and they're wondering why, you know, they're recycling these hurts and these pains and they keep falling into these particular situations. It's imperative that we begin to go and ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness and extend the olive branch. That's the thing that we'll do. And we have to look at it from a situation that is not it's not belittling. It's not making you less of a leader because you go and ask for forgiveness, contrary to belief. What is showing your membership is that they have to learn how to use the spirit of reconciliation. And you as a pastor, you as a leader, need to lead by example. Amen. Lead by example. How often have we been to churches and you can feel the tension? You know, if the pastor don't like somebody, you know, the congregation literally looking at you and they feeding off of you, so they don't like them either.
Now, Pastor Katie, you said something there, and that control, that power.
Yes.
And I have witnessed that. I mean, I've been at a church. Praise God, it was nothing in our organization, but I have been at a church that where the pastor, bless them, can manipulate the members against each other in a very subtle way.
Okay.
A very subtle, and we have to be careful we don't do that.
Yes.
Because when we say something as pastor, shepherd, some people just take it as, that's law, that's it. So we have to be careful what we're saying to people about people, which we shouldn't be doing about people anyway. But sometimes people drop that amongst the ones who works in the church and stuff. So nobody's trusting anybody.
Yeah, that's
you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And nobody's trusting anybody because I'm the pastor's pet, or he's not liking this, or I know how pastor is looking. So it becomes such a distraction and a division, and that's power play, and people are so wounded again, they hurt and they don't trust anybody.
Right. Yes.
So, like I said, but we can be restored, and that's what's so lovely about this.
That yes, that God restores. God restores, and that like you said, that's the awesomeness of the God that we serve, that he is of God who forgives. If we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. And we have to get to a point. But the key of it is that we have to be repentant. And the key of it is, as leaders, is that we've got to go to those who we wounded. It's no way around this thing. You got to go back to the one that you wounded. You've got to, because that's what he said. Lay your gift down, go get it right, and then come back. Then come back and pick up your gift and begin to give alms to me and begin to, you know, give your praise, your worship, and your adoration. And a lot of times our praise and our worship, Amen. I'm hoping that we're reconnecting, and we do apologize. The call was dropped, but Pastor DeLoach and myself, we're still here, and we're still just adjuring those who are on the line, who perhaps need to get into the place of God, get into the presence of God. We adjure you to do so. And we're just going to ask Pastor DeLoach if she can begin to pray us out as we have like 5 minutes left on the airing show. Just begin to pray for those who perhaps are abused or those who have found themselves in a place where they've become angry and bitter from their own hurts, from their membership. If you could just begin to acknowledge or give a prayer for them, and we're going to close out with that.
Amen. Most gracious Father, we just thank you now. We just thank you for this avenue. We just thank you for this moment of time. Father God, we thank you for restoration. We thank you for healing. We thank you that the words of Pastor have reached and touched the men and women of God in leadership and of a sheep, oh God. We thank you, God, that they can come to you and leave it in your care,
yes,
that you love them. Father God, that you would just restore and heal the brokenhearted. And for those as shepherds that we have been burned out, God, or hurt or broken, that there is a restoration for us. There is healing for us. There is direction for us. And God, as it has been spoken, that we will come with a repentant heart, telling you to forgive, asking you to forgive us, oh God, and just to begin to manifest healing, oh Father God. We just thank you right now, oh God, for those who are sitting out there that don't want to go to church and saying they're through, but Father, you are not through with them, that you are loving them and calling them back to you, back to the first love, and we just give you praise, God. We know that, God, that there is nothing too hard for you. There's nothing that you can't heal. There's nothing that you can't do a turnaround, but it is a turnaround season, and it's a turnaround moment, God. And we just thank you, Father God. We just ask you, oh Lord, that of this moment, God, that you just give them sweet peace. We ask you, Lord, that you would speak into their heart. We ask you that the word was just the drive deep. Mm-hmm. And we just ask you, Father God, oh precious one of Israel,
Jesus.
We just pray, God,
Jesus,
the shepherds will come off of pride and say, it's me.
Mm.
It's me, God. It's me.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's me.
Jesus.
The facade and the mask will be taken. The God that you say, until they're broken,
Jesus,
it can't be enlarged, the word said. It has to be broken. I let them, because the shepherd breaks the sheep legs. Let us be broken, God. Break the legs of the shepherd, God. That they humble themselves, that they can be healed and restored and
yes.
made whole.
Yes.
We thank you, God. We thank you,
God. Yes, God.
Thank you for Pastor P right now in
Jesus'
name. And hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. So we appreciate you so much, Pastor DeLoach, for joining us on tonight, and we hope that it's been a good experience for you as it has for me, having you on with us on tonight. We appreciate it, and we look forward to what God is going to be doing in your life. We speak now open doors for you in the name of Jesus. Forward to God doing the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above all in your life as well, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, God, we just thank you for the higher heights and the deeper depths for this woman of God. We praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, listening audience, for joining in with myself and my co-host on today, Pastor Olivia DeLoach. We do so appreciate you. And until next Thursday, this same time, we look forward to hearing from you. May God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone. Okay.